the future of shopping or the shopping journey in general is going to be more personalized, more intuitive, and AI assistants in general will become part of our day-to-day life. However, we still need human support. It both needs to go hand in hand. I mean, I don't think we can trust fully AI here.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. In this episode, I get to catch up with the awesome team from DoFinder. The talk about AI at the moment is far greater than the number of brands using AI. So in this episode, we're going to be getting super practical to try and shift the balance on that, to try and help a large swathe of you work out one way in which you should be using AI in your business, on the front end of your business, and give you some clear guidance as to how it could help you out. So we've teamed up with DoFinder to do this, to bring you kind of the ins and outs of how to unlock one of what I think is one of the most powerful opportunities with AI, AI assistance on the front end of your store. I think it's powerful, as you'll hear me reiterate in the episode, because for AI search, you've got to be improving all your product data. An AI assistant on the front end of your store needs great product data. So doing that work, why wouldn't you leverage it in every angle that you can? We'll be going into 5 big wins you can get from an AI assistant on your store. And I think I used the word holy grail too many times in this episode, and I nearly used it a lot more, because this is some stuff which is going to solve problems that we've had for decades. And I really do mean decades in the industry. So have a listen, get clear on what the potential is here, and then have a go at doing it, I suppose. Please listen to the end, because both my guests are sharing a top tip each in each question, and they have some brilliant answers for you and some brilliant takes on the top tips round. So you really don't want to miss that either. And now to introduce our special guests, Yale and Anna from DoFinder. DoFinder has been helping e-commerce brands improve product discovery and search experiences for over 15 years. Today, more than 10,000 online stores worldwide use the platform to create faster, smarter, and more intuitive shopping experiences through AI-powered technology. Hello, Yale and Anna.
Hi, Chloe. Nice to be here.
Nice to see you again.
So cool to have you both on the show. Love a bit of AI chat, love a bit of customer service chat, love a bit of conversion rate optimization chat and personalization. We're going to be dripping in that in this interview, I know. So, but before we get into all of that very, very juicy stuff, I'd love to know how you each got into this world of e-commerce. So Yale, can we start with you? How did you end up in e-commerce?
Of course. So my story is quite straight to the point. My first job as a student was in e-commerce for an online store when I was in my early 20s. And I really loved that job. So for me, ending up in a e-commerce SaaS, which DoFinder is just a very natural extension of that first experience.
Just been there the whole way. Very cool. And with that client side experience as well in the mix.
Yes, that really helps, because it's cool to see basically in technical terms from both the front and the back end what this industry is like.
Very cool. And Anna, how about you? Similar or different?
A bit similar, actually. I got interested during my university studies in e-commerce, and especially in that field. I wrote my bachelor's thesis about it. So I had the theoretical part about brands and customer education. And eventually I went up to an enterprise software, Oracle ERP systems, selling those. And through DoFinder, I made a switch to marketing and to the e-commerce space. And now I focus on the German market and explore more of that. And I'm very happy. It's a very nice space, to be honest.
It is. But you're definitely one up on me. My bachelor's thesis was on medieval queenship, which is not hugely relevant to the world of e-commerce. Right. And definitely not relevant to the world of AI and shopping assistance. So We're going to get into five big wins you get with AI shopping assistants. But before we get into the five, before we start to reveal them, what are shopping assistants? You know, where does this kind of line lie around what is and isn't an AI shopping assistant? Anna, can I throw that one at you, please?
Yeah, basically, a lot of people confuse that actually because they think it's like a regular chatbot, which it's not. It's really, you can imagine like a human assistant. It's just a shopping assistant in your store interacting with you and understanding the human language, basically. And it can help your store in many ways. And DoFinder launched this year the AI assistant, where we really want to showcase also what are the big wins that you can achieve when using this tool, because it's so different than what you've seen before.
It's what we keep finding with AI, isn't it? It's like, okay, you've got the tool, but you need to know how to use it. And so many people go, oh, brilliant, I've got the one that converts my voice into text. It's like, you work in an open plan office, you're going to drive everyone mad. This is not, you know, have you thought this through? But it's one, it's having the tool, and then it's knowing how to use it, which is why it's so cool. We've got you guys here to run through how you're seeing people use it and the key ways of making it pay. So let's countdown, I suppose, or a list, I suppose, rather than a countdown. Number one, Yael, you've got number one for us. So what is our number one big win with an AI shopping assistant, please?
Yeah. Before I go into the big win, I really quickly just want to say that it's very important to do research because shopping assistants are very different. So we are basing these five big wins on the capabilities of DoFinder's AI shopping assistant specifically because it has such wide capabilities. That does not mean that every shopping assistant is able to do what we can do.
No, I think that's brilliant. It's a perfect caveat to everyone because I think, you know, there are, you know, someone will be going, oh, I can spin up my own AI shopping assistant in whatever vibe coding tool they're currently using, but it's not going to necessarily be the same. So just like you don't use Gmail for the same things you use Klaviyo for.
No.
That's what we're talking about here. So I love that. Thank you very much for mentioning that. Come on, what's number one though?
The first big win that we would like to talk about is one that we showcase the most, but it's still not always clear to everyone. And it is about closing the finding gap in e-commerce. So the finding gap is basically the gap between how customers search for a product and how this product is actually stored in your catalog. So let's say, for example, a customer might be typing something like they're in a store and they're typing something to unclog my sink. The actual product in your store might be listed very differently. It could be under a brand name or you could have a plunger. But because the product in the store is listed differently, the customer doesn't find the product. And this finding gap specifically costs e-commerce about $2 trillion a year globally. So that's a lot of money. With an advanced AI assistant, you can bridge that gap because it, instead of matching keywords between what someone types and what is, you know, stored in your backend, in your catalog, it understands the real intent of what someone is typing and is also able to ask the necessary follow-up questions. So in our specific example, an AI assistant might ask, how bad is the blockage of your sink? And that way it can guide you to the specific product that you need and you don't lose it. So your store is not part of this $2 trillion problem that we're talking about.
Feels to me like one of the holy grails of e-commerce. You know, and I may use that phrase again as we go through this chat, but it's like, it's something I think we've been trying to solve since my very first days 20 years ago, working in stores, trying to go, well, in those days, it was which fields in the database should we allow search to look at before search explodes? Now we get to go so far beyond that.
It's really interesting to see, because it's true. My first experience in e-commerce, a big part of my job was entering as many keywords as I could think of into our database to match these products, and was a lot of time, and it still wouldn't work well. So it's a problem that's been around forever.
Yeah, but hopefully in a couple of years' time, when we're talking like this in front of newbies to the industry, they'll be like, what, you had to write keyword lists? Yes, we did. Endlessly.
Yeah.
So love that. Okay. Shall we go on to number two? Anna, you've got number two, haven't you?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, what we also think is helpful or is a big win through our AI is upselling and cross-selling in the moment. And traditionally, sometimes upselling and cross-selling can feel a bit aggressive or too pushy. And this you can definitely remove. And when you use the AI assistant, the whole dialogue becomes more human, conversational, contextual, and the AI assistant understands what the customer is actually trying to buy or solve in that moment. I have some examples. I mean, I have so many in my head. We are talking nonstop to clients and I see a lot. But one was actually like, for example, if a customer is buying motor oil or motor oil, the AI assistant can suggest related products like gloves. And this is a good example for cross-selling. It doesn't come off as pushy because, you know, it's very natural. And in upselling, it's the same case where it's as well. If I had one speech actually with a baking e-commerce. Imagine you want to throw a party for an 11-year-old. And then you just chat with the AI assistant and ask, hey, what do I need? What can I buy? And then the AI assistant will give you some inspiration and can suggest you like, okay, maybe you can get this bundle here or a larger beginner kit for baking a cake, something like that. And then you can sell a lot of products very easily, you know, from different kinds of categories, let's say.
Again, it's like another holy grail thing that we've been trying to get right. You know, do you put the cross-sell in the checkout or do you put the cross-sell earlier? How do you use the customers also bought products on the product listing page? And to be able to, and I think where so many stores have come unstuck with it in the past is that you try and create one model for everything. You know, like to take Yale's drain cleaner example from earlier, if you're a hardware store, you're probably selling drain cleanup. You're probably also selling, you know, which is a consumable product. You're probably also selling a broom, which should last you for a few years. And it's like the cross sells for those products are so completely different and come across so many such different rule sets that it just becomes so difficult. So I love that example. Okay, number three. Yeah, we're back to you for this one, aren't we?
Yes, we are. So the third big win with AI Shopping Assistant is that it can help your store to truly sell around the clock. So, you know, customers, they enter your store and they shop at all times of day. But what we forget about is that a lot of customers also have questions. And these questions, they can be about a product itself or about your store, your store's policies. Now, if your store is closed, and at that moment, you're not able to answer that question, your customer might go to another store or the potential customer might go to another store and buy it there. With an AI assistant like DoFinders, you're able to upload whatever documentation you want it to have. So this could be anything, any store policy. If you have technical products, it could be very detailed specifications about your products. Really anything that you feel like will help your customers to be able to answer questions in whatever moment. So that's a huge benefit because you're now not losing customers. But a second benefit is also it really frees up your customer support teams to focus only on the conversations that really need to be held in as a human rather than with AI.
And of course that while it never sleeps part, your customer service team are going to come into a chat that's already happened and then been passed to them where there's more information so they can go back with a better answer than if they were coming in to the blank, you know, the one question rather than the actual conversation that's gone on with it.
Yes.
It amuses me we're calling it the store that never sleeps because since the days of e-commerce, it's been like, I make money while I sleep. Yeah, but you can make more money while you sleep. Yeah. It's what we're saying.
You can make all your money while you sleep is the next step. So
exactly. Cool. Okay. Number four, Anna, what have you got for us?
All right. Another big win is turning no results into sales, which is my absolute favorite. Basically, the AI assistant is not only helping customers to find products, but it's also helping brands understand demand and customer behavior and also potential catalog gaps way, way better. And we had one example with a toy store where we saw that the clients were looking for toys for kids with ADHD. And in that case, this toy store did not provide this. And through those searches and no results, they implemented in their store. So you can use it for your business intelligence, for your strategy. You can work with it. And you can either incorporate products into your shop or create them on your own. So there are endless possibilities. And it's my absolute favorite.
I suppose you've got like the two-pronged part of that, haven't you? Which is the when that customer hits the dead end, your AI assistant is there ready to go, oh, hold on, we spell it slightly differently because we're being weird. So head over here and you'll find a category full of what you want. But then we're capturing ever more data, which obviously the more AI is brilliant at sifting through all that data to then give us the recommendations for improving the business as well.
Yeah, and there's two sides to it, because in the DoFinder dashboard, you're able to analyze yourself, and you can also see DoFinder gives errors when the AI assistant hasn't been able to give an answer that they're fully happy with. So you can go into these answers and look at the data that you should give, for example, to improve that. But also you can then see which products might be actually missing from your catalog. And similarly, you get a summary every week that describes to you what conversations have been held with the AI assistant and what is important to maybe, you know, give more attention to.
It's so many bits and pieces. Right. Before I go off on a tangent asking you lots of questions, let's finish off with number five, because we need to get through the five, because everyone wants to know what the five big wins are. We're back on you for number five, please.
Yeah. So the fifth one is very connected to the previous one, but it's one that a lot of people don't really think about. As you can go through the data and look in the dashboard to see what kind of conversations people are having with the AI assistant, you will not only find product gaps, but you can also find real navigation issues, UX issues, really anything that can inform not only your product assortment strategy, but your entire business strategy. Because people come in with the most surprising questions. They'll ask you if you have a store in a certain city, a certain country. And it's a perfect way to do market research without having to actually, you know, spend all the resources on market research.
I love the way you phrase it. But for me, I think of it as being like, I've run out of things to say in my newsletter. Oh, look, there's some ideas. Or we've run out of things to test, or we're not sure where we should go next. And then you see like, all right, three people have asked us about having a store in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Let's research and see if that's what we're doing. Not let's open a store in Copenhagen. But it gives you a load of hypotheses to go off and test afterwards.
Yeah, and things you haven't normally thought of at all. People are very surprised when they go through the data. So it really helps your store to always kind of be a step ahead, is what we like to say.
We're used to collecting data from certain sources, you know, the search bar, the customer service element, but this kind of feels more interactive, because it quickly gets to another layer, which, you know, the traditional customer service chat, you're waiting and you're waiting. Whereas with this, you're not really waiting. So you're likely to get more out of the customer. So we're getting deeper, richer data from different places.
Yes, absolutely.
Which brings us on to the question I stopped myself from asking when we were going through the five, which is this delivers in so many ways. We've been talking about the back end, the front end, the research data, the helping the customer who's proactively wanting help, the helping the customer who doesn't realize they need help, proactively helping the customer who knows they need help but isn't going to ask for it. You know, we've got all these different sides of it going on. And I'm sure there's people saying, oh, well, we can build that bit, we could build that bit, or we've already got something that does that bit. But, and tell me if you think I'm way off base with this, but for me, it feels like the whole AI success in e-commerce is going to be about those who have the well-trained AI agents coupled with the right data. Right, those are the two game changers. And the more of your data you can get into one place, you know, it's like you don't want to be building five different data sets, you know, for five different pieces of tech. So the benefit of having it all in one place, where you've got your search, your merchandising, and you've got your AI assistant all in that one place, integrated what it needs to, then you're building everything in one place, which makes things so much better. You're both nodding away. I think Anna's nodding more. So Anna, I'm guessing I'm on base with this. Would you agree?
No, that's the whole thing also about DoFinder. We started with search and then we launched one feature after another just to be a platform and to fill out the whole shop and help the merchant so you don't need other tools. And it all becomes intuitive and matches your tonality, the design of your shop. Like there is no need for other extra software solutions or, you know, it's all in one moment.
And that big trend of streamlining the tech stack that we're seeing people are doing as well. Yeah, are you seeing that being an important thing for the customers who are coming to you at the moment?
Yeah, I definitely see a trend of SaaS solutions like DoFinders moving towards being a platform because they keep growing, keep offering different solutions that in the end are interconnected. And the reason for that is, as you mentioned, as a customer, we're getting quite, how do you say it? It's quite luxurious, the experience that we're offered in a lot of stores. And so you have to keep up with that. And a good user experience is not just something anymore that you can, that's optional. And so in that sense, it's important that the software you're using is easily integrated with one another so that the experience, so not only for you as a store owner, you have the data in one place and you know exactly what's happening, but also so the customer feels like they're in a fluid experience and they're indeed not sent from one place to the other because it's spelt when that happens.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, very much so. And the worst thing you can do in customer service is, you know, they've asked the chatbot or the AI assistant and they've heard, oh, the skirt is, I was going to say 20 centimeters. It's probably too short for a skirt, isn't it? The skirt is 50 centimeters long. And then they speak to customer service and they go, oh, no, it's not. It's 70. And you're like,
yeah.
How tall is your model for it to look like both of those? But
yeah,
but it just, that creates so much less trust than not having the number in the first place. So that consistency is critical. Anna, obviously there's plenty of opportunity right now with these AI assistants, but as we're seeing, the world of AI is moving at speed. So where do you see this affecting the online shopping experience as we go into the next 5-10 years, dare we look out that far?
I mean, we already talked a bit about it, that the future of shopping or the shopping journey in general is going to be more personalized, more intuitive, and AI assistant in general will become part of like our day-to-day life. And you mentioned Klaviyo actually, and they recently shared a study and also said that, I mean, AI is here to stay. And that even now people are using it, and me myself as well. I already write with ChatGPT or Gemini, you know, if I'm looking for a product or do my research. So it is already starting and it's going to be so quickly. I mean, I cannot look into the future in 5 to 10 years, but from the Klaviyo study, it was clear that an AI assistant is going to happen this year, which we launched with DoFinder, but it's going to be normal. It's going to be everything that we are seeing now is just part of the whole experience we will have. However, we still need human support and it both needs to go hand in hand. I mean, I don't think we can trust fully AI here.
Yeah, I think I find it really fascinating that any e-commerce business isn't seeing this as one of their first AI plays. You know, even over and above using it to generate copy. Like, if you're going to succeed with AI search, then you've got to have good quality product data. So if you're pulling all the good quality product data together, why wouldn't you have an AI assistant improving the on-site experience to help you when you spend all that money? You know, as ROASs are getting worse and all the rest of it, so it's getting harder to recruit customers. Why wouldn't you be doing that if you're doing the work on one, which you really can't afford not to do the AI search work? Why wouldn't you be adding the assistant onto it as well? It seems madness to me.
When we're talking about data, it's also quite interesting. There's a lot of different tools out there that can help you provide the right data. It's not something that, as we just spoke about, you have to all do by yourself. Even with DoFinder, we have a product, AI visual tagging, that is able to collect from images different type of product data. So you don't have to manually add everything. So in that sense, having the right data is also not something you have to do fully by yourself. There's tools for that.
I still see that as magic. Yeah. that it will look at our product page and the product imagery and then go, these are the things you need to add into your diet. I think that is just...
Honestly, all of it is a little magic to me. Even working in this space, it stays magic.
Well, hopefully I know we've given everyone lots to think about and to make sure they've got their AI assistants working on. And everyone, there's still plenty of time to get this in place, ready for peak, dare we say the P word. Yeah, I believe you've got a little challenge for the listeners, though, just to help them really get focused on this. So what's the challenge?
So the challenge is, if you own an online store, if you're an e-commerce manager, I would highly suggest to find one person that matches your ideal customer. It doesn't have to be a current customer. It could be an ideal customer you'd like to reach, and actually walk through your store with them, whether it's over video call or physically, but make sure you're doing it together and analyze this person as they're searching in your store. Look if they're hesitating anywhere. Try to see if they can find certain things, because a lot of the times we're so used to the navigation in our own store, the language we use, that we lose sight of people that we're not able to reach. So I'd say a lot of stores are quite shocked by what they see. It's quite hard to step out of your own experiences sometimes here. So, and there's a lot of opportunities there.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level, a little bit like that challenge that Yael just gave you all. And just to reiterate on that, you're not allowed to tell them how to use the website whilst they're doing
it. Yeah, you're not allowed to say anything. Just observe, yeah.
The hardest thing in the world to do is to just to not, you know, maybe get someone to record it so you don't butt in. Anyway, sorry, the top tips round. Yael and Anna, are you ready for the top tips?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Let's start with the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend? And Anna, I think you've definitely got one for us, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Marie Forleo. I don't know if you know her, Chloe, but she's from the United States. And her book is called Everything is Figureoutable. So basically, for every problem, there's a solution. And sometimes we get stuck in our heads, and less overthinking and more action. And that's what I can recommend to the listeners.
Sounds like one I desperately need to read. Yael, your book, please.
Yes. Before I say the title, maybe really quickly want to check in with you if I pronounce it well for the English. Erroneous? Is that the right way to pronounce
it? That's right.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So my book recommendation is called Your Erroneous Zones by Wayne Dyer. I'm not sure if you guys heard of it. It's quite a classic self-help book. It's not a business book, but I think it fits well with the theme we just spoke about, with talking to clients and trying to figure out how they experience something, which might be not how you expect them to experience it, because this book, the premise of it is really about identifying the assumptions and beliefs that you hold and that you've never really questioned. It also really well exemplifies the damage that it can do without you really noticing it. And so this applies well to business too, because a lot of the times we just experience something through such a static lens. And this book really helps you to question those assumptions and step a little bit outside of it.
Nice. I mean, assumptions are always bad, but the ones we don't even realize are assumptions are even worse.
The worst ones. Yes.
Love that. Okay, cool. Two books to get you all going. Traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I'd say quality over quantity right now. So traffic is getting way more expensive across the board. I'm sure if you have an online store that you've realized that too. And I think the brands that are going to win in the future are the ones that stop trying to be everywhere and get really, really intentional about where they show up. So, you know, one really well-placed ad in front of the right person is worth a lot more than 100 impressions from someone who wasn't going to buy in the first place.
I think you're so right. It's, but as someone who's currently trying to get more focused, It's so hard. It's so hard. Like the channels, they call to you. They call to you. They really do. Anna, what's your traffic advice?
I agree as well with Yael. No, it's not getting easier. We are like, there's so much online going on. But what I would also recommend is to focus on guidance and useful content so that the people can make better decisions. And yeah, not just ads all over. We've seen it, but really to educate and help.
I could not agree with you more on that front. The tool top tip may be a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient day to day? Anna, can I come to you first on this one, please?
I love Gamma. I don't know if you heard about that one.
No.
Gamma AI. It's if you want to do presentations, like last minute presentations, it's a huge helper. I love it. And for the creatives out there, you don't need to spend too much time on formatting or design work. Gamma does everything and it looks beautiful. I love it.
Oh, cool. So slide deck tool, but more.
Oh, you can do even more, but it's so pretty. Really, it's doing the job fantastic. So.
Oh. I will have to go and check that one out. Yael, your tool tip, please.
First of all, I think Gamma is really worth checking out too. It's a great tool. And then I'd like to add to that, rather than adding another tool to your list, because there's a lot out there right now, I'd suggest look at the tools you have right now and figure out if they have existing integrations that you don't know about, because the market is changing every single day. And there's a lot of integrations you see that people aren't aware exists. So lately, you know, there's been a lot of developments with Claude and Canva and how you're now able to design prompting. It's insane, all the changes. And similarly with DoFinder, if you have Klaviyo, you can integrate it with DoFinder and, you know, do your marketing emails like this. So look at the integrations that exist before, you know, stepping into a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, use what you've already got. I mean, there is so much development happening. It's mad. I swear I've had a couple of emails in the last couple of months from software companies who've gone, we used to do this, we now do this. Because we've just complete pivots. It's so hard to keep track of it all. So I love that advice, both of you. The carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
I'd say one big thing that stands out to me is thinking of product returns and how to reduce them, because product returns are a very big contributor to carbon footprint emissions. And there are a lot of tools out there that can help your store reduce returns and also in that way make you waste less money too. So, you know, I've read a lot about virtual clothes try-ons. I'm not recommending any right now. I'm not sure to what extent they're working, but it's definitely worth checking out. And similarly with the AI assistant, if you upload real good product data, you're able to help your customers make much better product decisions and reduce returns, which is good for your wallet and it's good for the environment.
Yeah, it seems so simple, doesn't it? But it is a huge piece of carbon saving advice. Help the customer buy the right product.
Yeah.
Simple, they say. It's not simple at all.
No.
Anna, your carbon top tip, please.
I mean, I would just look from the company side, how a shop is built, like with their employees. And I'm a big fan of remote work and digital collaboration. So this is what I would recommend, because it can work and it does work at DoFinder very well. So reducing extra unnecessary travels to focus on the strategy, to focus on efficiency, to focus on the important things.
Yeah, it's huge savings to be made with that. And but you do have to have the right mindset, let's say. You can't expect it to work like it did when you're all sat in the same office, because you can still get the same results is what I'm trying to say, but you have to approach it differently. So before we say goodbye, Anna, we really should let the listeners know where they can find DoFinder. So tell us a little bit more about DoFinder and how they can find the product.
You can find us at dofinder.com. Very simple, very easy. And then you can explore our platform for yourself. We also offer a 15-day trial. So definitely take advantage of that and see how DoFinder can work for your platform.
Awesome. Everyone, so that's dofinder.com to get your hands on the tech. Yael and Anna, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and making what feels like an overwhelming topic make so much more sense when you break it down and giving us all that advice. We really, really do appreciate it. So thank you both so much for being on the E-commerce Master Plan podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much. Had a great time.
Really appreciate it.
Well, what a fascinating dive into what's possible with AI shopping assistants. We went through the five big wins you get with an AI shopping assistant. We talked about closing the finding gap, upselling and cross-selling in the moment, that your store never sleeps. And of course, your AI shopping assistant is helping customers 24/7, whether your customer service team are there or not. Turning dead-end searches into sales and feeding you the insights to stay ahead. And it's fascinating how, as we were also talking about, the way these different parts interweave. You know, we've got the proactive customer support, the reactive customer support. We've got all the data on the back end. We've got it solving problems in our conversion funnels. There was just a lot coming together there, which I think really convinces me that, one, you really should be giving this some serious thought as we go into the tail end of this year in Q4, because this is a big conversion rate improver and therefore a big improver of all your marketing spend. But of course, if you're going to do it well, you've got to have the data in place to enable that assistant to do the good work for you, which means having the right product data together and so on and so forth. And I strongly advise you to think carefully about where you're going to be building that database and all that product data so you've got it in one place that all your AI can use, rather than having to build it multiple times. Because if you're building it multiple times, you're inevitably going to miss things and it's not going to get kept up to date. Right. Lots of cool stuff there. And of course, do check out the DoFinder tool, because they're building all of this in the one place. And as I mentioned there, they're also now integrating that data with Klaviyo as well, which I know a lot of you are using Klaviyo. You can get your hands on all our notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short link. That's ecmp.info/episode-number. Put that in the URL bar to go straight to the right page immediately. And when you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. If you like this episode, then I recommend having a listen to episode 588 from just a couple of months ago, where I got to chat with Luke Bream from e-commerce brand Valente. And he's sharing, amongst other things, his tips around how he's using AI in his business. And he's a brand owner who I think has pushed it further than most. And he had some really interesting takes on it. So that's well worth a listen. Thank you for tuning in to this episode and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new one every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including encouraging businesses and consumers to make more sustainable buying decisions. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.